honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and another episode recorded at the National Museum of World War II Aviation in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Thanks again to Mark Schaefer of Honor Flight of Southern Colorado for introducing us to a couple more remarkable World War II veterans. When we left off, Betty Dengis had told us how she always wanted to become a nurse, how she followed those dreams and cared for wounded veterans stateside before heading overseas, only to arrive in Scotland just as Germany surrendered. By no means did that mean her work or her adventure would end.
Well, they sent us to southern England by Bath, a staging area again, and we lived in tents there. But again, we had time to travel. We went to Chitter and Stratford and Bristol and London. That was very interesting.
And I don't want to gloss over that either. You say you land there, and they tell you the war is over.
Yeah.
That had to be pretty good news, right? Was there some celebration there?
Yes, I think we did celebrate, and we're really happy that. But then we also knew what was going to happen to us, so there was that part of it too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when they sent us to the staging area in southern England there. So anyway, we joined this hospital, 94th General, and they had just sent away all of their patients. They were getting ready to go to France. So right away we got ready to go to France and went across the channel, landed in Le Havre, took a train, stopped in London. The fun thing there was we had to go to the bathroom and we didn't have any money, and you had to pay to get into the bathroom. So the enlisted men had been paid, so they had money. So they paid our way into the bathroom.
The things we take for granted.
Yes. So then we got back on the train and we went to Reims, two little towns, Mormelon, Le Petit, and Mormelon, Le Grand. And we set up some tents there because that's what we were doing. All of us were around at different places. I don't know what the process was or anything. But we would take care of patients whenever we were in any place where they had patients. So we would work, and I was, it was okay. Because we kept busy too.
And so the war is over.
Uh-huh.
But there's still a stream of patients coming in, guys evacuated, wounded.
Right.
What can you tell us about the kind of condition they were in?
Well, at that point, they had been taken pretty good care of in the front, in the MASH units,
right,
as it were. And so they would be bound up and legs were taken care of. The one man who I said died from the fat embolus, he had a fracture of his femur. He was strung up in a traction.
Mm.
And that's one reason he died, was fat embolus. But those kinds of things, the orthopedic things, people would be on crutches or in wheelchairs and all of that, all the same, just nursing. And then we danced a lot. Of course, because I was the first lieutenant. I was second lieutenant, and then I was promoted to first lieutenant. We went to the officers' club, and I remember this one dance, the officers invited the enlisted men because they didn't get to be with to dance with the nurses and all.
Right.
And so they danced, and I remember my roommate said about that dance, she remembered we flew from arm to arm.
I would imagine that, being an Army nurse around all those men,
mm-hmm.
many of whom, a lot of your patients, probably
right.
hadn't seen very many females for a long time.
Yeah,
so
right.
You were probably pretty popular.
Yes, very. They loved the women, and we loved the men. We really enjoyed the dancing with them. That was really wonderful. So anyway, there we are in Mormelon, and we are put with this general hospital, 227th General Hospital, and we were headed down through France to Marseille to wait for a ship to take us to the Philippines.
Because the war is still going over there.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's the beginning of the Riviera, you know, so we would go up to the Riviera and Cannes, enjoy the sunshine, and people we met a lot of pilots who were from different places. One particular man I remember, they were from south of Rome in Marseillaise. They said, if you ever get down our way, why give us a call? Well, as it turned out, there was a trip to Rome, a compassionate trip you could have if you had somebody, like if I had a boyfriend, which I did, or a family member or something, you could take this trip, but nobody signed up for it. And so the chief nurse said, who would like to go to Rome? Well, who would like to go to Rome? Of course, Barbara, her name was Barbara. My roommate and I. So we were signed up to go and packed up and took off. We went to Nice.
Uh-huh.
Took a ship across to Leghorn, the Leaning Tower of Pisa and everything, saw that. We got to Rome and a hotel. We had a nice hotel there. We did a lot of sightseeing, going places and doing things. Went to the Vatican and saw lots of things at the Vatican. Their jewelry, yes, really valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Things. And one thing that happened that was just extra special, my friend was Catholic, but we got in a big room where they were having a, well, not a mass, but just he was talking to people.
Uh-huh.
And it was really filled with people, but we somehow got along the railing at the front right there, and he came down and walked along the railing and blessed us and all of this, and she was so... She kissed his ring.
This was the Pope?
Yeah, the Pope,
Uh-huh.
So we got to see him face to face, and she got to kiss his ring, which she was so thrilled with. But I was just thrilled to meet somebody face to face. So that was really extra special. We could have been in the back of that room where we wouldn't have been close to him at all, but we were right there, so that was good. So anyway... We called these guys that had said, you know, if you get down here, why give us a call? The one guy wasn't there, but there was another one there, a couple others. He said, we're going to Athens for the weekend. Over the weekend, would you like to go with us? So they came up to Rome and put us on their plane, and off we went to Athens.
Well, you got a lot more than you signed up for, didn't you?
Yes. We had another trip. 3 day pass to Paris. So we went out to the airport and said, do you have anything going to Paris? And they said, well, that B-17 there is gone. So they put us on board and we flew to Paris on a B-17.
Not everybody gets to do that.
Yeah. So
where'd you sit?
In the bubble.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was raining and the weather was bad. They weren't flying back, so we had to go back on the train.
You've gotten to go to Washington, D.C.
Yes.
With Honor Flight. What did that experience mean to you?
Oh, it was wonderful because I hadn't seen any of those things. And the one I really liked was the nurses one. Do you know the nurses one?
The Women in Military Service for America Memorial?
Yeah, uh-huh. And they're holding the GI.
Yeah.
Looking for the... plane. We had guardians. Do you know about the system guardians?
Mm-hmm.
And she bought me a little replica of that nurse's.
Oh, beautiful.
And I have it on my shelf in my room.
What did you think about when you were at the National World War II Memorial and they have all those gold stars?
Yes. Oh, isn't that, you know, to think each one of those represents a person is astounding. Yeah.
You know, from spending time with those patients, the ones that were back here in the States had been sent home from the war, the ones that you saw in Europe as well. Is there something that you think the rest of us should know about them, the kind of people they were, what they represent?
Yes, I had a psychiatric ward of 100 men there in Marseille. A lot of them, in fact, I think our ward officer said this, if they had never gone to war, if they had just stayed home on the farm, they would never have had any problems. You know, they would have just lived a normal life with no problems.
Mm-hmm.
But with the war disrupting their life and coming into all of this, they had psychiatric problems.
And that still happens today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there were challenges that you faced, but it kind of sounds like your experience in the Army Nurses Corps in World War II was a life-changing adventure for you.
Oh, yes.
Is there something that you would say you're most proud of, you're most thankful for?
Well, the opportunity. I guess I'd say the opportunity to do that, to take care of those men, and to have the opportunity to see the places that we were able to go to and see.
What keeps you going at age 98?
Oh, friends, family. I have two other friends. We've been writing these books for 30 years, care plan books for nurses, and they've been very successful. That's been real something I'm proud of, because I had the opportunity to put words in the books that are, you know, words mean something.
Yeah.
And you can say, like, I'll give you the example. We say, well, how did that make you feel? You know, no, it didn't make you feel. You felt that way. Yeah, see, and it's just those kinds of, in fact, they're therapeutic words in psych.
Maybe there's some people listening right now who are nurses now or who want to be nurses when they're older. What's your number one piece of advice for being a good nurse?
Find a good school. You have to learn to appreciate people, to recognize that they are people, and they're there really to learn about how to interact with them in a positive way.
And what do you enjoy about coming out here to the National Museum of World War II Aviation?
Oh, listening to these people. And a lot of them have been nurses that come by and talk to me, and they're so excited. And that, yeah, it's so thrilling to be able to talk with them, and they ask me questions like you know, some of like you did. You know, just interesting. I can share some of the things with them that I learned.
I'm not trying to put a thought in your head if you don't agree with this, just an idea. Have you ever thought about the possibility that women like you and your sister, two of the 300,000 American women who put a uniform on in World War II, blazed a trail for others to follow, that you helped create opportunities for women today?
Yes, because I've been told that. Somebody just told me here when I was sitting there. Thank you for setting the groundwork for us to be there. And, you know, as I said earlier, we just thought we were doing, you know, what we had been trained to do at that point in time, and we didn't think we were doing anything special. Right. And now it's, you know, it's really nice.
And you just told me not to ask, how does that make you feel?
Yeah.
But how do you feel about that when people say,
yeah,
thank you for helping create opportunities for me?
I'm proud and excited because we did. That's absolutely true.
Well, thank you very much, Betty. Thank you for serving our country, and thank you for sharing your story.
Great.
That is Betty Dengis, 98 years old, of Colorado Springs, Colorado. Maybe she'll be there waiting for you when you visit the National Museum of World War II Aviation. Don't forget to find photos of Betty and of that impressive museum online at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes page on Facebook. I'm Paul Leffler, hoping you'll join us again next time when we're reminded once more through the stories of our veterans that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.